Grace, greetings, my friend. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 20th day of the month of May. Thank you for joining me. I'm Paul White. It is a privilege to have you with me on this Thursday. Today, Thursday, tomorrow, Friday, we are going to finish the book of Malachi as we've been looking at some highlights from this little Old Testament book. Then on Saturday, we'll introduce the message you can look for on all of our platforms on Sunday, the full-length sermon. Tell you all about it, give you the little backstory on it, introduce it, and then start the process of setting up our next journey together, which will be a look at the first several chapters of the book of Genesis, and then we're going to go from there. We'll see how that unfolds and how deep we want to go into that, but I can tell you, those first few chapters, we're going to do a rather deep dive and getting into some things I am very excited about, and I think many of our listeners are as well. But a heads up, today, tomorrow, we do a couple of different podcasts from the last several verses of Malachi. At first glance, you might think why two podcasts is needed out of this text. And it's because, well, this to me is an important way for the Old Testament canon to end, because it sets up the arrival of something else. And that's very crucial when you get into the ministry of Jesus and you couple that with the ministry of John the Baptist. How did the ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus look to the people that lived through them? Were they unusual? Were they unique? Or were they, say, two of many, many voices? And even if they were two of many voices, was there something in particular about them that might have connected them to the Old Testament scriptures? I think that there is. And by the way, I also think there were many voices in the times of John the Baptist and Jesus. But I think what they were and who they were connected them back. And I think particularly, well, it's easy to find stuff on Jesus now that we're looking back through the lens of the cross and we're 2,000 years removed. And we can look back on those Old Testament texts. It's easy to find Jesus, all the prophetic stuff. It's not quite as common to find John the Baptist, though there are a few. We saw some stuff in Isaiah. But to find them together, it just seems interesting to me that it's not that hard of a stretch to find them together at the very last thing recorded in the Old Testament canon. And then there's this 400 years of relative silence, and then John the Baptist comes on the scene. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And if you were highlighting the point of these Old Testament verses on some sort of chart where you showed what they were talking about, there would be this color that represented a moment when John the Baptist and Jesus are prophesied of together. And then you would... then you would see them together. And I think that's so amazing. And then they would be separated by a 400-year gap, but by no separation in book. We'll go Malachi, Matthew. Let's read it. Malachi chapter 4. And technically, the Son of Righteousness, verse 2, we know that's Jesus. And the reason we know that's Jesus is he arises with healing in his wings. And Jesus is the healer. He heals the brokenhearted. He is the sunlight. He is the light. If you see Jesus there, then watch verses 4, 5, and 6. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Jesus will tell us, we're going to get into this more tomorrow, but Jesus will tell us in Matthew that for those who had ears to hear, John the Baptist was Elijah. So I want to deep dive that tomorrow. For today, I want to take the assumption that you either A, already know this is referencing John the Baptist, or B, you trust me that it's referencing John the Baptist. And in either case, if you can go along with this for a moment, that this is referencing he who was to come, John the Baptist, then that lets us do two things in this text without leaving this text. One is in verse 4, one is in verse 6. In verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant. What servant? I think the servant, which is Elijah the prophet. Remember the law of Moses. And you could say, and it's not a hard stretch, you just all you have to do is watch John preach and then watch John die. And you will realize that the ministry of John the Baptist was a fulfillment of Malachi 4:4. He was remembering the law of Moses. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. For John, the proof of repentance was not a changed heart. He couldn't preach that. That's a new covenant message. For John, the proof of it was bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Bring forth an action that shows you're serious. That's a Mosaic Old Covenant message. I also told you could see him remembering the law of Moses in the way he died. Remember how John dies. John is beheaded at the request of Herod's daughter, who says, "Bring me the head of John the Baptist on a charger." Herod had foolishly promised her whatever she wanted, and so he has John's head cut off. Well, John's in prison. Why is John in prison? Because John preached to Herod about Herod sleeping with his brother's wife. John is preaching the moral code of the Mosaic Law, and the preaching of that moral code gets him put in prison and ultimately gets him killed. Now, I'm not saying John knew anything else to preach. But if you contrast the fact that Jesus was also confronted with someone caught in the act of adultery, John chapter 8, the way that John the Baptist treated adultery when he saw it was not the way Jesus treated adultery when he saw it. If you're more attracted to the ministry that points out error and preaches against it, then you are with the ministry that points out the gift of no condemnation and promotes it, then I would say, if given the chance, you would have attended the meetings of John the Baptist over the meetings of Jesus. And I know that that's a lot to cram in there. That's a big thought, but I can't help but think that if you watch John the Baptist on one side of the street and you watch Jesus on the other, you would realize that John the Baptist is appealing to that side of us that wants people's actions, while Jesus is appealing to that side of us that wants mercy and grace. John the Baptist will always be more famous in that scenario than Jesus, and still is to this day. And we all have to make a choice as to where we're going to go. The servant of the Lord of Malachi 4:4 remembers the law of Moses. Verse 6, if it doesn't happen, I'm going to come and strike the earth with a curse. John the Baptist's arrival is to herald the arrival of Jesus. If Jesus doesn't show up, vis-a-vis if John doesn't show up, the earth is in trouble, because God closes the Old Testament with, I'm going to strike the earth with a curse. John's arrival, thus Jesus' arrival, is the promise that God is out of the curse business. That's the great promise of Malachi 4:6. Tomorrow, we'll round this out by talking about Elijah the prophet and showing you how Jesus said it was going to happen. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.